Today's gospel, my brothers and sisters, Jesus gives us several examples of what it will be like on the day of the coming of the Son of Man. We see in the examples things like the flood, Noah, the ark. It has the characteristics of destruction, a day of difficulty. We also see Jesus use the example of a thief coming to steal and to rob a house. I don't believe that it is the negative characteristics of these examples that Jesus is intending to instruct us about his coming. It is its swiftness, its unexpected nature that he is trying to highlight. I think this is important because as we read this, we can take on a negative feel about what it will be like when Jesus comes in his glory. Negative in the sense that for those who believe, Jesus' coming is not a day of sorrow. It is a day of victory, a day of joy, a day of justice. It's not intended to be a day of sorrow. And so as we read the gospel text today, I invite us to focus on its swiftness, its unexpectedness. The example of the two men in the field, the two women grinding at the mill. One was ready, one was not. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, what must we do in order to be ready? As I said at the introduction of the Mass, we are focusing and preparing to celebrate Jesus' first coming, where we see our salvation in flesh and blood for the first time revealed in a baby born in a manger. But we celebrate his first coming in order to prepare ourselves for his second. We celebrate what Jesus has done for us, what we have received, the gift that is Jesus to our life, so that in receiving that gift and living in that gift, we may be ready to welcome him in his second coming. My brothers and sisters, do we want Jesus' second coming to be a day of joy for us? Then we need to be prepared. We need to be living in that gift. We read in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, we see that the prophetic word of God, the intention of it, the revealing that in the day of the Lord, when the mountain of the Lord is exalted above all other mountains, the nations will gather in Jerusalem. The nations which have been constantly at war since the foundation of the world, will come together in peace and reconciliation with the people of God and with each other. Implements of war will be now used as implements for harvests. A time of peace will ensue upon the earth in the exaltation of God's holy city. This reveals to us, my brothers and sisters, what the day of the Lord is to be like. But for us, we who have entered into salvation, the day of the Lord is at hand for us. Now, how many of you have begun to write your list of things that you need to get done before Christmas comes? It's all right, you know, some of you write lists, some of us don't. We're just trying to remember everything we're supposed to do. We write our lists. What are all the things that you have to do in order to be ready for Christmas? Well, you know, I've got to get presents for these people, right? The guys are thinking, yeah, I got to get the Christmas lights out of the attic or the basement, buy some bulbs, check the lights, put them up, right? Oh, we have that normal, we have that Christmas party during Advent. And you know, I'm making reference to everybody throws their Christmas parties during Advent, and then Christmas comes, and then we're done. There's this whole thing after Christmas. It's called the season of Christmas. My brothers and sisters, I would encourage you to celebrate your parties during Christmas, not during Advent. Unless you want to have an Advent party. Purple sweaters, some rose ones in there. We come up with this list of all of these things that have to be done in order for Christmas to be Christmas. Do you think Mary and Joseph had a list like that? I doubt it. They were concerned with one thing, the child within Mary's womb, and being ready to welcome that child. My brothers and sisters, I love Christmas. There's so many fond memories for me connected with Christmas. Mostly with family members coming to our home regularly, routinely on Christmas. And the joy of welcoming them, the joy of seeing them, the joy of spending time with them, the joy of getting snowed in and having nothing to do but be with each other. But we can spend so much time doing the external trappings of Christmas that we actually forget to prepare ourselves to welcome Jesus. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is the first Christmas present given to the world as a gift. If you were given a house to live in as a gift, as a present, and you knew that the giver of the house was going to come to your house on a certain day, what would you do to prepare that house to welcome him? You know, we live in the house, so there's stuff everywhere. There's things here, there's things there. We would clean it from top to bottom, wouldn't we? We would show our appreciation for the gift of that house by having it ready and fixed and welcoming in every way. In appreciation for the gift of that house, so that the one who has given it when they enter would understand how grateful we are for the gift that we have received. My brothers and sisters, we have been given a house. It is our Christian faith. It is the forgiveness of sins. It is reconciliation with the Father. It is receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is living in the grace, being transformed. And so what must we be about as we prepare to welcome the one who has given us this new house to live in? Is it not reconciliation with each other? Entering into the graces that Jesus has given, embracing them all. And as I said, you know, just as a house, we live in the house and it becomes cluttered and things as time. And then we say, oh, we've got 3.5 weeks to get the house ready. That one door that keeps sticking, we need to get that fixed before he comes. We need to get the guest bedroom fixed up. We need to get all the stuff that we've stored in there and put it up into the attic so that the guest bedroom is ready. We know that we live in the house, just as we live in our Christian faith. But the time is coming, my brothers and sisters. The time is coming in which we will encounter the one who has given us the greatest gift. Are we living fully in that gift? Paul is reminding the Romans in his letter today in the second reading, you know, again, they're living in the faith. But Paul's like saying to them now is the time to get awake. There's not a time for sleeping. Now is the time to be awake. Do not slide back into living in the sins of your past and doing these things. Straighten up. Get yourself right. What would it be like, my brothers and sisters? I'm not going to go there. It just sounds like I'm trying to make us feel guilty. To live as if Jesus did nothing for us and then him to show up. It's not where we want to be. We don't want to live as if we are unredeemed when our Redeemer shows up and knocks at the door and wants to be welcomed. It is time for us to enter into our redemption again. And it is not a matter of cleaning a house or putting up lights. It's a matter of reconciling with each other. Forgiving, being forgiven, giving justice to the ones that we have been unjust to. Receiving God's mercy, entering into his grace, praying, participating in the grace and the life of prayer that we have received as the beloved sons and daughters of God. The culture wants to burden us with all of these exterior things so that when we finally complete them, we check them off and we say, I'm ready for Christmas. But so many of those exterior things have absolutely nothing to do with being ready to welcome Jesus. Even the promotions that you hear on the radio, and these are good things, you know, inviting us to give and support, to give money to buy presents for homeless children, for children and families that are in need and this and that. But then the line that they use, it always sticks because it's not true. So that these children may have Christmas. What does the giving and receiving of presents have to do with Christmas? Jesus is born whether or not you get a Christmas present or not. It is the ultimate gift. We need to focus on what Christmas is really about. And I know when I say it, things like this, it makes me sound like a hater of Christmas. Absolutely not. Love it. Love it to death. But the most important thing that we can do, my brothers and sisters, in order to say thank you to God for the great gift that we receive in this event, is to be living in that gift. To be fully living in that gift. To show our appreciation, our gratitude, our thanks to God for all that he has done for us. Not to continue to live in our sin, but to live in his mercy, to live in his grace. For the first reading in the prophet Isaiah to be made manifest in our life when we gather to celebrate the birth of Jesus with neighbors and friends and relatives and strangers and to be at peace with them. This is the time to make manifest the grace that we have been given in Jesus Christ. So if you want to take it as homework, take what I say today and put it on the top of your list. Leave everything else on there. But know that if you don't get your list done, Christmas will still come. We will still celebrate Jesus' birth. And we still will have a cause for great joy and rejoicing. My brothers and sisters, let us enter into the gift that is given to us. This will be the greatest sign to Jesus when he comes that we love him. That we are grateful for his sacrifice. That we are grateful for his grace. when we live in that grace fully in our lives, this would be the greatest present that we could give this Christmas day. Amen.